Blasidevikajoy. Synonyms? No.
No.
Not.
Not.
Eva.
Eva.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Sakshatkara.
Sakshatkara.
The direct result.
Bhumidhanasya.
Of contribution of land. Yat, which, tat, that, Bhagavati, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ashesha Jiva Nikayanam,
of unlimited numbers of living entities,
Jiva Bhuta Atma Bhute,
who is the life and the super soul.
Parama
Atmane,
the supreme regulator.
Vasudeva,
Lord Vasudeva Krishna.
Tirtha Tame,
who is the best of all places of pilgrimage.
Patre,
the most worthy recipient.
Upapane,
having approached.
Pariya,
by the topmost.
Shadiha,
faith.
Padama
Adura, with great respect.
Samahita
Manasa, with an attentive mind.
Asampratipaditasya,
which was given.
Satsya,
directly.
Apavarga
dvarasya,
the gate of liberation.
Yat,
which.
Vilanilaya,
of Bilvaswarga, the imitation heavenly planets.
Aishvaryam,
the opulence.
So translation,
my dear King Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramanadev,
but one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilvaswarga as a result of his charitable disposition.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly super soul, and under his direction, a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically opened. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of a devotee is the result of his devotional service. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. So next we're going to read text 20, because text 19 didn't have a purport.
Yasya bhavakshuta patana raskal vannadisu vivashaha sakrin nama vigrinhan purushakarma bandhanam anjasa virunoti tasya na yasya huiva pratibadhanam umukshabau nyattaivo alabhante.
So translation, if one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly
or unwillingly, he is immediately freed for the reactions of his past deeds. Karmis entangled in material activities face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavors. Vali Maharaj did not get back all his material possessions merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee, free from material desires and motives, regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord, and in this way his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur said, mukti swayam, mukutmukulitanjali sevate smam. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endeavor separately for mukti, because mukti is always ready to serve him. In this regard, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, third chapter, texts 177 to 188, describes Haridas Thakur as confirmation of the effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Keha bale namahoite hoi papakshaya. Keha bale namahoite jivera moksha hoi. Some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life, and others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Uridasa kahena namera dvi palanoi namera pale krishna pare prima upa choi. Uridasa Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or free from the reactions of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anup shongi ka palana mer mukti papa nash tahara drishtanta yache suryena Prakash. Uridasa Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reactions of sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Uridasa Thakur gives an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. Esh lokerartha khara panditeragan sabhi kahi tumi kaha artha divaran. He placed the verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholars asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridas kohena yakshe suryenu dai Udayana haite arambe kamera hoye kshay. Haridasa Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night, even before the sunshine is visible. Chara preta rakshasa dirabhaya hoya nash. Udaya hoile dharma karma ari para kash. Before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of the dangers of night, such as disturbances of thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. Ache namo dayarambe papa adirakshai udaya koile krishna pare vaya primodoy.
Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna.
Mukti tu chapali hoy namavas hoy te. Ye mukti bhakta na loya. Se Krishna chahe dite.
A devotee never accepts mukti even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reactions, is obtained even by nama pash, or a glimpse of the light of the holy name before its full light is fully visible, or perfectly visible. The namavas stage is between that of namaparada, or chanting of the holy name with offenses, and pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, namavas, the offenses have almost stopped and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. This is perfection. So, Om Ganana Timadanga Shad, Nanjana, Shilakaya, Chakshur, Un Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Shikurvay Maha. So, this, of course, is a discussion that Haridas Thakur is having. There's two references in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One is that Haridas Thakur is talking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that particular reference, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was acting as the student, and Haridas Thakur is acting as the professor. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually says, or asks, how can all the living entities be liberated, including the inanimate living entities? Of course, inanimate means like trees, and even things like clouds are living entities, or mountains. There's actually living entities in all different types of bodies. And, of course, even in the atom, there's living entities. So Haridas Thakur answers by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And, of course, the living entities also respond. And that is called echo. Actually, that word echo comes from Greek mythology. There was a lady named Echo, and she was pining for her boyfriend. Anyway, that's where the word comes from. So anyway, so that echo is the chanting of the non-moving living entities, and that chanting, of course, is in the stage of namavas, and we'll describe what namavas is. Also, there's another instance in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where the potency of namavas is being described, and that's when Haridas Thakur was preaching in the assembly of the Majumdras. Majumdras means the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, Hiranyan Govardhan. So he was preaching about the potency of the holy name, and he talked about how by chanting namavas, one gets liberated. And this other personality there, who is Mayaya Aprita Jnana, and also a Sura Bhavam Ashrita, his name was Gopal Chakravarti. And Gopal Chakravarti disagreed with him. Gopal Chakravarti said, no, how is this by namavas you get liberation? Because you have to try so hard through yoga, through other processes to get liberation. And he got so angry at Haridas Thakur, he said, you know, you're wrong, I'm going to cut your nose off. And Haridas Thakur said, you know, if I was wrong, I'd cut my own nose off. I mean, he was so much convinced of the philosophy of the chanting of the Lord's holy names. Actually, there's different types of ignorance which the conditioned souls are subjected to. One type of ignorance is that one is ignorant of the identity of the holy name. One thinks that the Lord and the holy name are completely different, that the holy name is just a mundane sound vibration. Another type of ignorance is to be ignorant about the nature of the Lord, that there's God. In other words, there's a supreme personality of Godhead. And the third type of ignorance is ignorance about the nature of your own self, the soul being eternal.
So these are the three types of ignorance. And so this personality, he was subjected to these types of ignorance, as Gopal Chakrabarti. And because he had offended Haridas Thakur, first he was kicked out of his job. He was kicked out of the assembly. And secondly, he got leprosy. And when one has leprosy, one's nose and other extremities, they tend to melt away. Like you see sometimes, I just saw a picture of someone in the news yesterday, someone who had leprosy in some country, I forget which country, and he was doing some sewing. Somehow or other he was able to sew in spite of not having too many fingers. He was using his mouth and everything to sew. So that's leprosy. So, in other words, by offending Haridas Thakur and Haridas Thakur's statement that by Nama Bhash you get liberation, then he had to suffer from the effects of a great offense. So let's talk about Nama Bhash, because it's actually a very important subject matter. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, it's the intermediate stage between Namaparada and Nama Prema, chanting in love of God, Krishna Prema. So, of course, the word abhas means, first thing, it means a reflection or dim, something dim, something reflected. This is the meaning of the word namabhas. And there's not only one particular category of namabhas. There's different types and different categories. One is the namabhas that is a reflection. And then there's the pseudo namabhas. Pseudo means like not real namabhas, which is a distorted namabhas. And I'll explain what that, the difference. So this is really important to understand, particularly since devotees are associating nowadays with people who chant in a distorted namabhas instead of just the reflected namabhas. Very important to understand this distinction. Of course, reflected namabhas means that there is a glimmer of faith. At least a glimmer of faith in the holy names, if not more faith than that. And basically, one knows the holy name refers to Krishna. One may be chanting in different ways, but anyway. And this distorted or perverted namabhas is that one has a philosophy. It's, of course, one of the offenses on chanting the holy name. You give a perverted interpretation about the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. You know, the 10 offenses that everybody is supposed to have learned when they took initiation, right? It's different. You know, to give an interpretation, a mundane interpretation. Not that just to give a bona fide, explanation is fine. You know, when you say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It means, my dear Lord, O energy of the Lord in evocative form, please let me serve you. I mean, that's an interpretation or an explanation, that's fine. But there's a perverted explanation or interpretation in which one, let's talk about the Mayavadis, for example, in which one says, well, the name of Krishna is just a stepping stone. One can chant anything. One gives up the chanting of the holy name. Krishna is ultimately a manifestation of the Brahman. The Brahman is superior to Krishna. I mean, these are all perverted understandings of Krishna and the holy name. So this is called distorted namabhas. And this distorted namabhas is not actual namabhas. In other words, you don't get liberation from that. You actually get contamination. You actually get confused from that type of namabhas. So, therefore, when the devotees, sometimes they go chanting or have some performances with people who are chanting this distorted namabhas, they are getting contaminated by that. Like if you chant with someone and you ask them, what do you actually think about the holy name? Well, this is like so many mantras. It's like we could be chanting America the Beautiful, or we could be chanting anything, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo. I don't know if any of you heard of that mantra before. That's a Buddhist mantra. We could be chanting anything, and it really doesn't matter, but it just like helps us focus the mind, or it's whatever, or we chant, and ultimately we're supposed to merge into Krishna. When you actually chant with someone who's chanting distorted namabhash, your bhakti becomes diminished. This is a really important point to distinguish between the two types of namabhash. However, if someone is chanting namabhash, and it's not distorted, they don't have an improper understanding, or maybe they don't have any understanding, still they get liberated. You know, there's some people with no understanding. I mean, for example, there's four types of chanting that are real namabhash. One is called Sanketa, S-A-N-K-E-T-A. Sanketa namabhash means you're meaning something else. I mean, it's not that you have an improper understanding. You just mean something else while you're chanting. For example, Ajamil. Ajamil meant his little baby son, Narayan. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. He was calling out at the time of leaving his body. Naturally, one cries out at the time of death what everyone's consciousness is like throughout one's life. It's not that you can change, like Prabhupada said. It's not that you can teach a parrot to chant Hare Krishna at the time of death. A parrot may chant before that, but when a parent is actually being choked, the parent will simply squawk because there's no realization. So this Ajamil was chanting Narayan, 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 and even though he was very sinful, he had basically knocked off his father and mother, taken all the money, gotten rid of his wife, spent it all on some prostitute, you know, really bad stuff there. Really bad stuff he was engaged in, you know, very sinful person. But because he was chanting this namabhash, meaning something else, which is the name of his son, and also he was pious enough to give his son a spiritual name. He didn't give his son the name Henry or George or Bob or Bill or whatever. So because he was pious enough and because he chanted the name of his son, he got a chance to get saved from the Yamadutas. And that was the Vishnudutas came. And so there's many instances of that that Haridas Thakur talks about. He also talks about Haram, which is actually meaning, of course, the Muslims, they chant that meaning how horrible, because there's a story in the Puranas about some Muslim who's being attacked by a boar, a pig, a big pig with tusks on him. And the Muslim was chanting, Haram, Haram, how horrible, how horrible. And as a result, he got liberated. Pretty good, isn't it? You know, in the same way, because the example I give sometimes is the same way people go to Ramada Inn. They get liberated, somehow or other. Of course, when we're talking about liberation, it doesn't mean they go back to Godhead. People have that misunderstanding. It means they become free from karma. That's not, excuse me. Namabhash doesn't take you to Krishna's lotus feet. It takes you to the border of Vaikuntha. You don't actually get in. You understand? You can't enter Vaikuntha. It takes you to the border of Vaikuntha, according to Haridas Thakur. And liberation means simply freedom from karma. Several things. Freedom from karma. And also, even one becomes free, according to Haridas Thakur, from the influence of inauspicious planets. It's quite interesting. I mean, I find it very interesting how much the devotees get into astrology and talk about all their auspicious or inauspicious planets. And they really have these self-fulfilling prophecies in their lives. Self-fulfilling prophecy means that they say, this is supposed to happen, And because they think it's going to happen, it does happen. You know, there's if you ever see that movie, The Secret, or read the book, The Secret, that, you know, people meditate on something, and it happens. Now, that's not such a mystical thing. That's a practical thing. You know, if I think I'm going to get run over by a car, then I'm going to give myself that power of suggestion. You know, it's the power of suggestion. It's a subliminal suggestion. You know, people function by subliminal suggestions. Like there was one book written many years ago before any of you were born. And I forget the name of the book. It talked about how by subliminal suggestions the media was able to manipulate you. For example, they had one. Does anyone remember the name of that book? There was a, in the theater one time, several times, they did an experiment. They just flashed a picture of popcorn. You know, for an instant, the people couldn't even see. It was actually below the level of perception. They flashed it. Oh, the name of the book was Hidden Persuaders. Anyone's read that book? No one's read that book. No. None of you are educated. So the name of the book was Hidden Persuaders. They flashed the popcorn, a picture of popcorn, while people were in the movie theater. And the popcorn sales increased dramatically. People didn't know what was happening. Amazing, isn't it? Or they have so many subtle ads. Like if you look very closely in any liquor ad, you'll see pictures of naked people in a liquor ad. You know, Seagram's or vodka, you know, whatever. They're, I never drank, so I didn't even know about these things. But at least if you look very closely. And one time the devotees even did that in one of the Prabhupada's books in the fifth canto. There's a picture of Lord Shiva dancing in the destruction or something like that. And they have subtly in the stars it says death. You know, so, because that's a very attractive thing. You know, there's actually a gruesome aspect to our consciousness that's attracted to, you know, like blood and guts. That's why when we were young, we liked horror movies. We go to see Dracula. I mean, what kind of a consciousness is that? I mean, nowadays, of course, they play video games like Grand Theft Auto. So anyway, that's the power of suggestion. Anyone's interested in knowing about that, they can read that book. The Hidden Persuaders. And it really like shocks you about how the media was doing things even 40, 50 years ago. This is not, you know, modern stuff. And what to speak of the technological advances they have in persuading you to do things nowadays. So, you can do that to yourself. You can give yourself what's called a post-hypnotic suggestion, you know. I'm gonna have an accident because my Rahu is there, my Saturn period. Ooh! My Sunday's, Saturn, Sunday means Saturn. Sunday period. Oh! And then, you know, you'll do it. You'll become a nonsense. Because you're giving yourself the power of suggestion. It's very powerful. Even in medicine, they have this thing called the placebo effect, where, you know, you give someone a shot of sugar water, or saline solution, that means salt solution, and you tell someone it's a miracle drug, and they get up and dance. Or in the Christian church, they have these faith healers. It says, oh, Emily, throw your crutches away and dance. And Emily gets up and starts dancing. And so there's the power of suggestion. So devotees get into this astrology business. I mean, God. I mean, Prabhupada never got into it. I mean, we're supposed to be followers of Prabhupada, not followers of, you know, mundane karma kanja stuff. That's exactly what it is. Karma. For the karmis, Prabhupada said. Astrology. That's it. You know, and I've seen devotees get into it. So much, it's just like, it's astounding. So when you chant, the point is when you chant the Sankeeta, Namabhava, which means meaning something else. All your planets, Prabhupada even said by the tip of his toe, Krishna can kick away all the Rahus. So, but even Namabhash, what to speak of someone who's chanting seriously? Of course, how many of us are chanting seriously? That's another question. Anyway, hopefully at least we're chanting Namabhash and not Namaparada. And so the second type of Namabhash, second type of bona fide Namabhash is called Parihasa. Parihasa means joking. Like you see the Hare Krishnas on the street and go, ha, joking. They're so funny. Or devotees will go, Hare Krishna. Something like that. So that's the second type of Namabhash, which is a bona fide type of Namabhash. So you can joke and chant Hare Krishna. Not that you should do it. Actually, it should be done seriously. But that's a second type of Namabhash. And there's the two last types are not so desirable. One is called stoba, which means derision. Derision means like you're making fun of someone or deriding. Deriding someone, like the example given by Haridas Thakur is Shishupal. Shishupal in the Rajasuya sacrifice was deriding, in other words, criticizing Krishna. He was saying, he gave 100 offenses, 100 criticisms, and eventually because of that, he had his head cut off by Krishna. And he was Krishna's cousin, so Krishna even killed his own cousin. It was predicted anyway. So that was Shishupala. So that's derision. So that is also a type of Namabhash. We don't advocate that type. I mean, if you have to chant Namabhash, at least you should do the Sanketa, which means like meaning something else. Like, what's your name, little boy? Krishna. Okay. Prabhupada said because the parents call their children, or give their children spiritual names, then at the time of death, the parents will naturally cry out for the children. Like, I don't know if it'll work that way with my mother. My mother, she tries to avoid the Krishna part. Just like I have a brother I was just speaking to about, because there's someone sick in the family I was speaking to. And now they all call me Swami. But they won't say, Veer Krishna Swami, or Veer Krishna Goswami. And even my mother, she knows Krishna Priya, she won't call her Krishna Priya. She'll just call her Priya. So, it's interesting. It's like Krishna says in the Gita, that the whole world becomes joyful hearing your name, but the demons are afraid and flee here and there. So people are, it's interesting, you can give someone the name like Krishna Das, and they'll just call you Das instead of Krishna Das. Because somehow or other the name Krishna just like rubs them the wrong way because of their envy. It's interesting. I mean, I've observed this with a lot of people. Or they'll pronounce the name Krishna wrong. And the final type of Namabhash is called Hela, which means disregard. In other words, it's not quite neutrality, but it's just quite, I don't care about you. That Krishna, why are you worshiping that Krishna? Like my mother said one time, your father should be on the altar instead of Krishna. She came into the New York Temple. This was in Henry Street in Brooklyn. And big deity of Krishna, Govinda, Radha Govinda in New York. She walks into the temple. And I thought, she'll get so much spiritual progress. Little did I realize that there was an offense on chanting Hare Krishna where you don't explain the glories of the Lord to the faithless. Now, I didn't really understand. I just thought anybody who sees the deity will get benefited. But some people will blaspheme, so you don't really want to expose them to the deity. So my mother walked in and I said, there's Krishna! Bow down, mister! I didn't say mister. I said, bow down, mom. She said, no. Your father should be there instead of that. I almost slapped her, but I didn't. Anyway, so that's like disregard. Which is kind of funny. Anyway, So this Namabhas chanting is being described here, and it's very powerful. However, if we want to go back to Godhead, we have to go overcome this Namabhas platform. And the way described by Haridas Thakur to overcome Namabhas is to get Sambandha Dhyan. That's interesting. There's three types of jnana or knowledge that are described by the Acharya: Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means the knowledge of who the holy name is, the knowledge of who the soul is or what the soul is, and the knowledge of what God is, the knowledge of the material creation. This is all basic stuff. That's Sambandha. Abhideya means what you do about it afterwards. In other words, the process of sadhana bhakti, or Raghunuga Bhakti, or Bhava Bhakti, and finally Prema Bhakti. That's Abhideya. And Prayojana means basically achieving perfection. What is the perfection? Prema Prayojana. In other words, that's an interesting name. One of Prabhupada's disciples had the name Prema Prayojana Das. And Prema Prayojana means the goal is Prema, basically. That's what the word means. It's a beautiful name. Prema Prayojana means the servant of the goal of Prema. So Prema Prayojana Das. So that's Prayojana. So in order to get Sambandha, one has to approach a guru, a bona fide guru in disciplic succession. Sambandha, as I said before, means the basic knowledge of the soul, Krishna's identity. It's called ontology, for those of you interested in big, big fancy words. Ontology means what is the nature of something, the ontological position of God, the ontological position of the soul, the ontological position of the material world, the ontological position of Krishna's associates, of Krishna's energies. This is all ontology. That's a nice word. That means who they are, what's their essence. What's the essence of the soul? The essence of the soul is, of course, Ajava Nitya Sasra Dhyam Parano. He's eternal, that's one aspect. Not killed when the body's killed. And ultimately, Jivera Svarupohai Nitya Krishna Das. That's the identity of the soul. The Dharma. In other words, for that would be Dharma. What is the inseparable quality of the soul? Inseparable quality of Krishna. Anyway, Satchidananda Vigraha, Nadi Radhi Govinda, Sarva Karna Karnam. So when one gets this Sambandha Gyan, then at that point, one can go beyond Namabhas and eventually achieve Shudanam. But Shudanam can only be achieved if you have the Shudanam that you've gotten from someone who has Shudanam, so you need the guru for that also. Without guru, you can chant Namabhas. But with guru, you can chant Shudanam, Krishna Prema, everything. So guru is essential. But if you just want to remain a Namabhas platform, that's fine with me. That's up to you. Also, you have to follow the guru's directions. Not just get ontological knowledge, but practical knowledge. I'll be there. Okay, on that happy note...